League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Let's have an honest conversation about hip-hop. E-Skills on production. What up, hip-hop old head? King OG. Park Boys in the building. You know who I be. It's Son Capone. 2017, and we chiseled up the sculpture. The artists making money, but we do it for the culture. Sipping on mimosas, whipping testosterosas. A bunch of young men whose dreams is getting closer. Feel my pain, hear the struggle through my chromosomes. Always shift and see the changes on the totem pole. Got them all, yet today got the scrotum blowed. From the coldest flow to summer, sounded so and so. And if they drop rhymes, tell me who your top five. Is it the newer cats pushing from computer jacks? Spit the newer raps and killing on the viewer stats. It's perceived with they performing on the streaming stage. We used to need the aid, now we used to be in pain. And all the streets are paved, boards you want to keep away. And all alliances and regions that divided us. Let's have a conversation, break away the biases. Let's break away the biases. Gotta break away the biases.
Welcome to another episode of An Honest Conversation About Hip Hop.
Yo, what's up? This is Familiar, Dead Broke Entertainment, all the way from San Pedro, California. Gotta let you know, man, one of my favorite MCs, and it's not the favorite MC. It's gotta be Marshall Mathers, baby, Eminem, that's Slim Shady. One love, everybody.
What's good? This is Matt. I'm in the city of La Habra. Favorite MC, gotta be one of the GOATs.
Your signal is low. Can you talk into the phone? I can't hear you. What was that? What was that?
What's good, family? Welcome to another episode of An Honest Conversation About Hip Hop. I'm your host, moderator D. Morady. And as always, with me tonight, I got the fam. So I'm going to go ahead and let them introduce themselves. We'll start off with my guy to my left, the one and only.
It's your boy, Son Capone, the greatest rapper never known.
What's good with you, Son?
Oh, we good, man. I'm coming from the park, and God bless yoga pants.
God bless you. It's getting that time of year, huh?
It sure is, man. And,
all right.
And we was peeking and booing and shit.
Giggity. It's also Baby Mama Summer Aside, right?
Oh, man. That's year round, man.
Oh, that's year round. Okay. It's been a minute. So tell the Baby Mamas how they can get a hold of you.
Shit. Tune into the show, motherfucker. Shit.
All right. And as always, the one and only loaded up his, I was going to ask, what the fuck is that over here, man? You got like a, there's some shit I've like a, what's that shit, Game of Thrones?
What's that, good? He's a slash King stoner OG's tweaker winning. Over here. This is a tweaker contraption over here and shit.
That's like alien.
Man, yeah, you actually know what this is?
What is that?
It's a water bottle, ain't
it? Oh, this is a Nescafe jar.
So it's a Nescafe jar that you've turned into a bog.
Yeah.
That should look like what straight out of Wakanda.
Hey, the weed out here is like, too strong and shit, man. I could tell he back to or back,
like,
back to being
Caucasian,
back in Cali and shit.
You can't even hit that. He got a Wakanda bog over there. Shit. So, we're going to let him do his thing. How you doing?
King OG in the building. You already know. Same old same.
Hey, man, y'all been busy. Got a lot of music out. Go get that. You go ahead and get that on our Lisbon site. But recently, y'all did your first guest appearance on someone else's podcast. AJ and SJ over there at The Connected.
Yeah, shout out to them.
Yeah, so run that down. How'd that go?
Oh, it was cool. It was a cool experience. I didn't know it was going to be at CBS Radio.
Real big, yeah.
So it was kind of weird walking in there, and you had a real radio station and shit. Felt like it was on the Breakfast Club or some shit like that. But no, they and they kind of shocked me because I thought they was local from L.A., but they actually was from...
Inkster.
Yeah, from...
Inkster, Detroit. Michigan.
Detroit, Michigan. Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? You know, everybody get it twisted like L.A. and say you from Detroit. Like, you know, Michigan and Detroit, you know, it's different parts. You know what I mean? But it was cool. A nice experience. And, you know, we went over the Ruthless Records catalog and
the family tree and the importance to the game, to their legacy.
And it was dope, man, because they came out here prepared kind of for us, you know what I mean, and dropping it on you know, with Ruthless and you know, letting us cover our, you know, home area and everything like that.
Yeah,
so
yeah, definitely,
yeah, they was on top of it. Great experience, man. They had their show lined up, you know, they working back and forth, and hey, man, you can tell they brothers, man, because they operate like brothers and just, you know, bam, bam, bam. They on top of their content and everything like that. So, you know, it was a blessing to work with them.
They bounce back and forth naturally, you know what I mean? So the chemistry is there.
I saw you go live, so I was able to catch a majority of it. It was definitely a dope interview. You guys definitely did a good job on that. So, yeah, definitely. Shout out to SJ and AJ over at the
Connected Experience,
the College of Hip Hop. Go check out the website, the College of Hip Hop. Definitely go check them out. And also shout out to the Digital Soapbox Network, where you can find their program. You can find a couple other programs as well. Doggy Diamonds and stuff is up there. DJ Romeo and it's the Goodfellas. They have a podcast there as well. So big shouts out to them. So fellas, before we get into this, we got our special guest, not really guest, part of the podcast, part of the family. Mr. Bootlegs and B-Sides himself.
What's going on? It's Big Pooh. Or you can call me Brown Stroker. You feel me?
Bram Stroker. Ibrock. Bram. So, we are here to discuss hip-hop videos. And, you know, just we're going to talk about just their effect on the culture overall. Their presence. We'll get into some other, you know, direct stuff. Or we'll start off with some direct stuff. Let me go ahead and say that. So, a couple weeks back, they dropped Donald Glover, a.k.a., what is it, Childish Gambino. Dropped This Is America. And it was a very big moment at the time, one of those viral moments. One of those polarizing hip-hop moments for now. And a lot of people had opinions. And so I guess I'll go ahead and start with you, Bram Stroker.
This is America.
What's your thoughts, man, on... what's your thoughts on the song, This Is America?
Well, to be honest, I kind of saw the visuals on IG before I heard the song.
A lot of us did, yeah.
Yeah, because, like, you know, it's muted.
Right, right.
So I was like, what in the cottontail is this shit? It was hella sweet looking. What this nigga what the hell is this nigga doing? But once, you know, people started, you know, letting out what he was trying to accomplish, I kind of seen what was going on. The song really didn't have nothing behind it as far as the words. It was basically, from what I was told, he's just showing you how the music doesn't have to say anything. And
the visuals,
and then, you know, all the little secret coded stuff in the background. So I mean, I think overall it was a pretty dope concept.
Yeah,
I've never heard his music before, so okay. I'm not gonna lie to you, but you know what I mean. For what it was, for that 3-day period, it made an impact.
Okay, Sam, what about you? Made in America. What do you think? Or This Is America. My bad.
Yeah, this. I mean, I agree with Pooh. I mean, the visual, there was a lot more going on. I mean, the track, I don't recall anything other than the hook and the track and what was going on. I mean, so I like what he did in thinking outside the box and, you know, putting distractions on top of distractions and shit like that. I thought that was pretty creative, you know, but I don't think it was, I don't think it, I mean, it's getting too glorified for me. You know, I thought it was cool, but it's
You didn't think the video was that great. I mean, you liked.
I like the concept was greater than the execution.
Okay, all right. What about you, King OG?
I think that the visual was the most important thing behind it. I think it was a great video for like the way that he the whole overall scheme of what he was trying to accomplish and show you.
Right.
I'm not into the new school cheerleader hand gesture dancing, like it's kinda feminine to me.
I got you.
You know, but that's just my opinion. And basically, like it was cool. I see what he was trying to accomplish. He was doing something political, but then at the same time giving it to you in a way that you can digest it without just rejecting the shit. Like, I don't want a nigga to preach to me.
Right. And so I'll say this. It was definitely, in my opinion, a performance piece.
Oh yeah, it's one of the best videos that I've seen in a long, long time in music. Period. That's one of the standout videos, like the Wu-Tang Triumph video, the Korn video with all the bullets flying through it and shit that. Visuals, it's up there.
Yeah, and I think this is like, I think he envisioned this as if I was performing for an audience of people, not so much an audience of people behind the television, but an audience of people, you know, in a venue, you know, that would come to see this as a performance piece. You know, with all the different moving parts that they had, the people getting shot up at the church, you know, the pale horse riding through, you know, everything that was going on. There was a lot that was going on. And I think he was looking at it more from an artistic performance piece, more than kind of like a music video. Because the song itself doesn't really have any replay value at all to me. It's just really the visual that kept you engaged. I haven't went back and watched it a whole bunch of times. I watched it enough to understand what I thought he was saying, and then I moved on. It's not something I haven't been like, yo, throw that This Is America on, you know what I mean, for the video or for the song. So you know, I like what he did. My question though is, where was everybody when T.I. dropped that video about where he was having the black officers kill the white kids?
Well, the thing is, it's about the way that he executed it. He brung
it. The video
is
dope.
He brung it, and then just the sound, sonically.
Yeah.
It fits in with what's going on right now.
Yeah, it's happy-go-lucky kind
of. It got the 808s, but he flipped it in a different way to where they got different sections of it where it break down.
Yeah,
it got the African sounding part. It got the gospel sounding part. So, but it still sound like music of today.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's why it kind of came across more. And then he's doing the dances, like all the latest dances that all the kids is into. So it's going to come across different than what T.I. did, even though that was a way, way better piece of work.
Yeah.
It's still, that's the whole point I'm making. Like, you got to water it down to a point to where they can get it. You don't want it to go over their head. The T.I. shit went over their head.
And I think with the T.I. joint, I think it was a little more, it was something that was more direct. Where this was, again, not that it was indirect. If you were smart enough to know just off rip, you knew what was happening. But it wasn't as so much in your face, like you said, happy-go-lucky type of stuff. It's it's trendy for today. It was more palatable to people. But, you know, Matt, much respect and much love to him for pushing that agenda, pushing that line when a lot of other people aren't doing that. I'm not going to hate on him for that. But, you know, not really my cup of tea, to be honest, you know. But it is what it is. Anybody else have any more thoughts before we get off This Is America? Silent, huh? Okay. Well, I know this next topic will definitely have be near and dear to a few of the folks in the room's heart. BET Uncut. Let's talk about BET Uncut. looking back, the majority of the songs were trash. But shout out to, what was dude's name? Joker the Bell Bosman. Yeah, shout out to Joker the Bell
Bosman. Because I'm thinking about that shit right now.
Yeah. No, he was
Joker the Bell Bosman. Mighty Casey.
Mighty Casey. White girls. Yeah. What was that?
Tip Drill?
Oh, Tip Drill was probably the classic BET.
That's the Hall of Fame
Definitely the top of the tops.
Ludacris had one, too. I don't know the name, but I forgot.
Anybody remember Old Boy's name, what that thing smelled like?
Oh, shit.
Yeah. I forgot his name.
Oh, man.
There was somebody uncle and shit.
There was a few of these, man. And what's crazy, though, is could you imagine now if these songs would have hit, you know, came out now.
These motherfuckers would go viral. But you know what I mean? Shit.
Some of these shits is crazy.
Hey, this shit would go viral. You know what I mean? They were pressing the line back then. You know what I mean? Yeah. Shit.
What were some other BET Uncut classics? We missing a gang of them.
Shit.
Come on, Pooh. This is your topic, man.
You the archive right here, Pooh.
Song that I remember specifically from BET Uncut was I think the first time I saw, what's the nigga's name? The Big Timers, I'm So Fly. That was the first time I seen that was on there. I don't know if y'all remember that with the Gilligan beat. What else?
Nigga said the Gilligan beat.
Let me pause you right there. This has nothing to do with rap video, so I do apologize. Are the Big Timers the worst duo with hip-hop history? Like, on the mic-wise? Can you even think of two worse? You got somebody worse? Who's worse?
Another uncut duo.
Smiles and South Star.
Come on now, really?
Not lyrically.
I don't know.
Timberland and Magoo was garbage.
Magoo had a horrible voice.
Maganoo, whatever he wanted to call himself. Magoo was trash.
Magoo could spit, but his voice was trash.
Off the top of my head, I can't really just think like who's worse, but they got to be up there with the worst duo in history.
Yeah, I think they are.
Them and UGK. No, I just fucked up.
Wow. I stopped in my tracks. I was like, wait a minute.
So are you not a big UGK fan?
Oh no, I know Joe UGK fan.
But I'm saying you like.
To be honest with you, I heard first time I heard UGK was on the Menace to Society soundtrack, Pocket Full of Stones, and I was feeling that track. But after that, I kind of lost track of them until the early 2000s, and then they had a classic that dropped in '96, but at the time, I didn't hear it, so I missed that one. But individually, I think Bun B reminds me of Trady. What I mean by that is I've never heard him kick a whack verse. He may be an older MC, but I don't hear whack verses out of him. As far as Pimp C, never been a Pimp C fan. I mean, I like them in verses, sort of like how I like Method Man. Like when I heard Pimp C on the Ghetto D album, Master P shit, on the I Miss My Homies, he killed that verse.
He killed them niggas on Break 'Em Off something, on everything.
On C Murder album, on the second track, I forgot the name, he killed it too. I like him in spurts, but to sit back and listen.
Sipping on Scissor.
To sit back and listen to him in three verses, I can't stomach it. I just can't.
So you could do a Pimp, or was that a Bud or Pimp you said?
Pimp C.
So you could do a Pimp C solo record. You wouldn't be able to get through that.
No, I can't. I like him in
just voice wise.
Yeah, that country twang. I'm just not a fan of that kind of hip hop. I could take it in a verse, but a whole juke joint album, right. I can't do it.
A whole juke joint album.
You ain't into the country rap.
So that's too south for you.
Yeah, that's too south.
Okay.
My people from the south too. You know, all that's what I'm saying. But it just ain't my thing.
Okay. So we'll go back to the BET Uncut. So what other joints were big BET Uncut joints? I'm forgetting some of it because I know there was a grip of them, but this is almost 20 somebody years ago.
It's a lot. Dang. Y'all didn't name off the classics.
Yeah, for real. I'm drawing a blank.
I can't even think off the top of my head. You said Mighty Casey. You said what's his name again? Joker the Bell Bondsman.
Yeah, he had a few though. What was the one though?
He had a few.
Yeah, with somebody from Bold, right?
Yeah,
that's
busy.
Money in a Ziploc bag.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. That
was actually a hard song.
That was a hard song. Yeah. What was that hook?
Uh huh. Uh-huh, something ain't nothing like money in a Ziploc bag. Smash for the cat.
Yeah, that was hard. Yeah, that was a dope-ass beat. That's, yeah, I think that probably was the dopest.
I think he was from Canada or Alaska.
Alaska. Hey, that proves you can make it anywhere as long as you invest in yourself.
I think Ludacris had Pussy Poppin'.
That was the name of his track. Yeah.
You know what they also used to play though? They used to play some of the uncensored Little Jod videos, right?
They may have. I can't remember which one that was.
They had the one where they was the one where Mystical is on it and Bones on it. They run into the club, tearing it up or whatever. Yeah, that was a hard video. They had that one too. That was a different one. What's her name? China White on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they had Short on it. I think was Luda on that one too.
Yeah,
I think they had a couple different versions.
That's a classic around these parts.
Man, Club Meet a Ho.
Yeah.
Hey, y'all see the reunion flyer going?
They got a reunion flyer. Yeah.
Shit, I got a text on that motherfucker. Yeah. Like, goddamn.
It ain't playing hip hop though, so.
Well, they played it.
Fucking do a top 40 and this bullshit.
What?
Remember, we only went three on certain rooms. Days. They had other nights for other shit. So it's our nights that killed the club and literally killed people.
That's
You go up there, get your ass packed out. If the niggas catch you in the wrong little pocket of niggas.
Yeah. All right. Well, I thought it was bigger than that. So, but shout outs to rest in peace to Club Metro. Never be the same.
Nah. Meet a hoe.
Club Meet a hoe. So, we talk about videos. What are some of your all time favorite music videos? Why? So I'm gonna start with you, Mr. King OG.
Videos. So many. Wu-Tang Triumph. We All in the Same Gang. Fucking the Headbanger. Fucking Death Squad. That shit, nigga. It's just, we can go on and on.
Well, let me ask you this. Who do you has the best catalog of videos?
Videos?
Yeah, just off top.
Catalogs of videos. I have to get that to Busta.
Yeah, hell yes. Exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah, Busta has
videos ahead of his time before everybody. That Mobb Deep video was hard too. The one with Nas on it. The Quiet Storm one was hard.
Mm.
It's a lot of videos. Shit, you can go on and on and on.
I would definitely agree. Busta's right up there with some of the dopest videos in hip hop history. Sorry, you said the same thing.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. Busta was so ahead of his time.
What about you, Mr. Charles Ford, Mr. Legs and B Side?
Videos. Well, I thought about this. There's a few that stand out to me individually, but I'm gonna say more as an era. I just remember being young in elementary school, and around 89, everybody was dropping black and white videos, and that time period stands out to me from the DOC to Eric B and Rakim to whoever. It was like the video were black and white.
BDP, you know what I mean? That
so like color came out.
Children's Story,
yeah.
A lot of the classics was in black and white.
In that little pocket of time,
Wu-Tang first video was black and white.
That shit stand out to me. But as far as individual videos, the Grave Diggers, The Day the Earth Cried is one of my favorites all time.
I forgot about that.
The way the Far Side, the drop video was backwards.
That stood
out to me. And then also Exhibit, What You See Is What You Get.
Those are
like my favorites. I would say
Heaters. Yeah,
you know what I mean.
For me, one of my favorite videos, and it's not even that great of a video, was Gangstar DeWick.
Oh, okay.
Just they're on the beach, you know what I mean? The way the camera jerks back and forth from, you know, it just looked like a cool video.
Was hard to me. The Humpty Dance video.
Yeah, Humpty Dance was a hard video.
Mm-hmm.
That was hard. Try to think what else. I was never a fan of the big Hate Me Nows, the Victory, you know, the big productions where they were doing too much. I used to hate those videos.
Hype Williams type of shit,
yeah. Yeah, when it got crazy, when cats were flying in helicopters and stuff like that, that was wild.
I mean, funny-wise, this gonna sound crazy, but when Luke them dropped Cowards in Compton, that was one of the funniest shits I've seen. When they had the fake Dre and all that shit in the video. Yeah, that was hilarious. We had different eras of videos. Ludacris.
Yeah. You know who got to add in there, too, is Missy. Missy was...
Of course, too. Off top. She's up there with Busta.
Luda had some dope videos, too. What was that? Was that Stand Up where he had the big-ass foot? And he was stomping his shit with the big-ass foot? Yeah.
Yeah, Luda had some dope ones as well.
A creative dude. Nas had a lot of dope videos, too.
Yeah. I'm trying to think who else. I was never really a big fan of Jay-Z's videos.
Nah, he's boring as fuck, that's why.
Yeah.
Yeah, for the most part, he's pretty boring. I mean, going back to childhood again, like Express Yourself, that was one of my favorites when I was young. Yeah. You know, and then let me go back a little, early 90s. I like Ghetto Serenade, Dove C and the Mad Circle, just because that was just, I don't know, I was a lowrider kid, West Coast to the fullest, nigga, so that kind of shit always stood out to me.
Nigga, what was I about to say? Above the Law.
Which one? California?
California and Black Superman. Both of them. Those are two classics right
there. I got one for the culture that's slept on, but the real heads know about it, is The Wrong Side of the Tracks, Artifacts. One of my all-time favorites.
You know what else I was just thinking about, too, is that KRS-One. The one, the video, the main single off of I Got Next. The one where he came back with the
Rapture.
Rapture was a hard video.
Yeah, that was a dope video. Public Enemy, Fight the Power.
Oh, yeah.
Daz Effects had a couple of them.
Yeah, Daz Effects.
They had some hard ass videos.
That one right there. Shit, even, what's the one where the slave master raped homeboy wife?
Oh, that was
Can't Trust It.
That was dope. Even Cube had some dope ones around the time of the Predator. What was that?
Today was a good day.
No, but it was that one. I can't believe I'm not.
Ghetto Bird was hard. What was the one?
It was a Ghetto Bird. It was the one that had like the little kind of reggae roster feel to it.
Wicked.
You know, I get Wicked.
Yeah, that rock, with the that rocks. That video was hard.
Was definitely a good video. I did like
Lynch Mob, that Gorillaz in the Mist video.
Oh, yeah, that was dope. I didn't like the Cube and Dre video.
Oh, the Natural Born Killers.
I felt they were reaching, doing too much.
I never liked the song, so I never could get into the video.
I thought the beat was hard. I liked that beat. And then Cube was still Cube at that time. He wasn't doing the nursery rhymes and shit.
He was really going in.
Yeah. The homies wasn't writing for him at the time and shit.
That nigga doing that pity pat now.
Friday 5.
One fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish. Yeah.
Shit,
they working on the sequel, so it's Friday 4, so that's coming out.
Yeah, Witherspoon and them is...
Anybody hyped for that? Is anybody going and seeing that? Anybody taking...
That shit better go out with a ultimate bang. It better be better than everything.
To me, I ain't really tripping on that shit, because I only liked the first and the third anyway. The second was trash. The third had funny moments, but
You didn't like Lady of Rage and Michael
Blackstone?
Nigga
said Vapors for a video.
You didn't like any of that?
Man, that was... It was, I don't know.
I think it had its parts.
Yeah,
it wasn't that great of a movie. It definitely had, I would say, three or four memorable moments that, you know, you'll remember. Somebody would say, whoop-de-whoop. You're like, oh, shit, it's Friday, too. You know what I mean? It isn't something that, in my opinion, is a classic. You know, I'd say one is a classic, right?
Yeah,
Three was a good movie, but I don't think it was anywhere close to one.
No.
And 4, we'll see what happens, man. Hopefully everybody's back. Chris Tucker and everybody.
I don't think they're getting Chris. I didn't know that them cats. I was watching the John Witherspoon interview, and Cube, man, he only broke them cats off 5 racks on the first Friday. That's all.
Five racks.
5 racks. All of them. Nobody got paid no more than the other. They did the first Friday.
They get anything on the back end?
They got some royalty money.
They had royalty, but they got the 5 racks up front.
That's why Chris Tucker ain't trying to come back.
Yeah, no, the underlining of it.
You got to think about it. It's like, nigga, Friday wasn't meant to be a motion picture like that. It was something like an independent film that just blew up and took off, and the hood loved it, and then the rest of America jumped on it, and then it was a wrap.
We're going to go ahead and get into a topic in regards to videos and their importance today.
Malleable, that's right.
Now, back in the day, I feel hip-hop videos were not as important, but now they definitely sometimes, I feel, at one time took the forefront to the music. I think now with the technology, it's reverting back where you don't need a video right off the bat or sometimes at all. So I'm going to start with you, Simon. What do you think about that?
With the videos, it's rough, man, because when labels would push a single, they would push the video, and that's where you generated or had the visual of, you know, what was coming out. I mean, artists back then had a fan base of anticipated drop dates, so that's kind of what changed in the industry. But I mean, when they were pushing, they had that video ready to go. They had their singles press ready to go. Right now, with videos, I mean, you got all these kids going to school, you know, for videography and everything like that. So it's kind of oversaturated unless you're looking out for somebody specifically. But everybody's got visuals, so it's kind of hard to clear them out and specifically look for, you know, your artists or whatever you're looking for. You might stumble across some shit, but, you know, with the oversaturation of it, I think that...
So if you're not a big name, you're probably just going to get overlooked. Where back in the day, man, if you had a video...
How many motherfuckers got 1,000 views? Yeah, 1,000 views on YouTube and shit like that. You know what I mean? But the sourcing that you had, MTV and BET, that was, you know, promoting those videos and stuff like that, where everybody saw it. We don't have that no more. Motherfuckers think it's World Star, but, you know, World Star get those fake views and fake love and shit like that and kind of feed motherfuckers' dreams. So I think with the videos, become oversaturated.
Okay. And what about you, King OG? What do you think about the visuals?
I disagree.
Okay.
I think visuals are the most important thing right now. Driving the hottest artists is the visuals. Like, the only people that's listening to actual audio and links is like the core fans. Every time you catch a new artist, you catch them by video, not by MP3.
Right, right.
That's the backbone of everything. You can have the hottest music out in the world, and if you ain't got a visual to it, then you're not really reaching all the markets. Because you got to think about it. The internet don't go to sleep. This marketing strategy, the way that this digital shit go, is bigger than anything that you can do physically.
Right.
Back in the days, the way that shit used to work in a record label structure, I think that shit is like prehistoric compared to right now. It's all about the person and what you doing with it. Yeah, it's fake views and shit like that, but you gotta think about it. When we sleep, everybody on the East Coast is waking up. And vice versa, and it don't stop, and then you go worldwide. So YouTube is the whole world, not just your state or not just California and New York and down south. It's the whole world.
Right.
And the U.S. drive the force for everything, so they copy out off of us.
Especially
so everybody, the whole world is looking at us. They're not getting on looking at British artists, British pop stars. Yeah, they get their hits, but they looking at American stars around the world. So that's what it is. What it is. If you're not smart enough to use it to your best, then that's on you.
Right, right. So visuals, you're saying, are very important, and you're right. YouTube is 24/7. YouTube is, you could say, eternal at this point, and people are always on YouTube. So you better have some sort of visuals. I agree with you there. What about you, Mr. Pooh?
Well, I look at it like times have definitely changed. I think back in the day, like you said, I agree with your point. But also, I feel like there were platforms for visuals back in the day. Like, you know, just us as a crew in high school, we would congregate together and watch videos as one. Like, that's just something that I don't think, well, I'm not young, but I'm assuming kids don't have time to do that now because everything's in the palm of their hands. So you don't really see that. As far as the music goes, I'm kind of iffy. I kind of feel like you don't need it, but I'm going to put it to you like this. I feel like social media is more important than visuals. Mm. And most visuals are promoted through social media. So I think without, you know, those platforms, you know, Instagram and all that type of stuff, you wouldn't even know that the videos are out. Because I know me personally, I don't check for new music, only for certain artists that I want to see. But if I stumble across a celebrity page and then they'll have like a snippet of their music video or a link to YouTube, and then you go to it from there.
Right, but I think so.
And that's back to my point. A visual is more marketable than a link.
And I agree with you to some context.
I watch a video that I know I don't like to laugh at, or just to critique it. Right. Even before I just click some link that just say X Y Z K L. Oh, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's just human nature. Visuals. Visuals is what sell everything in the world, like advertisement. The visual is what like the music got to be strong enough to back it up. But just back to the Childish Gambino thing, the song is doo-doo without the video.
No, I agree with you.
If I would have heard the song before I saw the visual, I would have been like, oh, okay, what's so great about this shit?
And to my point, what I was going to say to you, Pooh, is this. You said that you felt social media was more popular. And I think it might be more popular in a sense. More people have it and might use it for, you know, what you're talking about, going and checking someone's page and seeing their music. But you have to think about it. There's a large portion of people who are restricted from, let's say, Instagram, Facebook, all these other social media platforms for whatever reason. They might be too young or, you know, whatever. But YouTube is something that almost everybody has the ability to have access to in some form. And so I think that's why YouTube remains to be that number one.
I use YouTube more than I use anything.
For, you know, for content.
I agree. I feel like, you know what, maybe I'm not the greatest person to give enlightenment on this topic, because I can only see things from my eyes. I know me personally, I kind of notice everything through social media, and then once I see something I like, then I go to YouTube to preview. Like, if before I even, let's just say I want to purchase something, I'm going to get my snippet from Instagram, then I'm going to go to YouTube and hear that shit, you know, however they have it on there, and then I go get it. You know what I mean? Even though, to be real with you, I mean, I haven't purchased shit since Summer of Sign. I just don't buy music no more. I mean,
I feel you. Let me ask you this, though. So,
thank you for supporting.
The whole process is
weird. How do
you
use YouTube then?
I mean, first of all, I want to say this. You know, I ain't getting paid for this shit. I feel like YouTube is the greatest creation of my lifetime.
Okay.
I mean, when it comes to music,
damn, that's a whole lot.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you know, it's just like, you don't even need a goddamn cookbook, a manual. You don't need shit. Somebody's gonna actually show you everything you need to do. You know what I mean? But I use YouTube. That's, to be honest with you, I watch TV 20% of the time compared to 80 on YouTube. Like,
because
I can actually see the content that I want to see instead of having to watch TV and wait for what I want to see to come on. So I kind of deal with YouTube more.
And then they little.
And then as far as if you're a real hip hop head, and you know you ain't really down with how they got a program now as far as this music, you can go on YouTube and find everything you need to see. It's cats on there that don't get the mainstream shine. You go on there and see cats and it's like, it's limitless. It kind of reminds me of old MySpace. You click on one thing, it'll just
leads you on for hours and hours and get lost in it, because it's always something related to what you're listening to that go right together. You know what I mean? So that's why I said that the visuals, the visuals kind of took over. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's why the music is free nowadays, because the visuals is what really get an artist popping, and then they can do shows off of that shit, and then the merch and all that other shit come behind that. But the visuals go along with the personality off of social media and shit like that. And if you know how to ball it all in one package, then you can win for real.
Right. You create your own content, you put it out there, and that's why I think, again, videos are so important, because it is now you controlling your brand and given information about yourself or the look or whatever you're trying to attain with whatever you're putting out to your core fan base and to everybody else. And again, you controlling that and not having to sometimes even come out of your comfort zone or even, you know, your zone of creativity. So I think it's definitely dope. I mean, I understand what you're saying as well, Sian, but
it's dangerous at the same time, because some dudes that got total control that shouldn't have total control. Some people need structure and boundaries, and some artists are meant to be free like that to create. Yeah. But that's not good for everybody, because it's always a line too far, or, you know, somebody that'll step in and be like, nah, like, you shouldn't do this or this don't sound right. You know what I mean? Yeah. So
when I got a question.
When you're free to do everything, then
with the visuals, do you think it strengthens the culture or do you think it saturates it?
I agree with you. There's way too many videos. It's just like music nowadays. Since the technology is no longer hard to get to record, whether it's music or whether it's a video, since you can record shit directly from your phone, of course, it's going to be oversaturated because there isn't somebody who's listening to it first and co-signing.
Yeah.
You know, we all had the co-sign back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't even rhyme next in a cipher or amongst your peers unless you got a cosign.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That was the basic level of it. You know what I mean? So now it's different. I go home, I get in my room, I smoke a little herb, I get my beat from SoundClick and I start rhyming and that's it. I upload it to SoundCloud and I then jump on and start promoting it and that's it.
Look how many people then got successful off of that after getting a couple free beats, nigga, turning on the Pro Tools, recording some shit, getting a little mix on it, nigga, and putting it out, and boom, but look, after they do all that, what's the bottom line to it?
Shit, we open up with Childish Gambino.
The visual is what drives everything now. There wouldn't be no damn Trinidad James or Soulja Boy or none of that. That shit would have popped off without the visual behind it to where you to see them and interact with the shit. A lot of shit wouldn't work the same. Especially when it comes to females and shit like
that.
The niggas that think they cute, nigga, they wouldn't have the same fan base, nigga, if the bitches couldn't see them niggas. Or the niggas couldn't see the female that's rapping or singing.
I agree.
Look
at Nicki Minaj. I'm not saying she's a,
if
not
we had
a dope
to just
artist,
listen to her and not look at her, nigga, them numbers would be a lot different. Anybody.
I'm just throwing that out there. But no, I mean, there's cats on, there's dudes in the industry that probably wouldn't do the numbers they didn't do if they didn't look a certain way.
Exactly.
You know? So, I mean, it is what it is. You know, the visuals are important because, again, they're going directly to the eyes and, people are looking at that. So, they're definitely still
important to draw their own conclusion and like really look into your world more when they see a visual rather than just hearing it.
Right.
You know what I mean? I think they can dive deeper and like go back and look at it, like find details and shit in between times that, like, you know, when they start liking you, they get to recognizing more shit than, like, when you watch a movie more than once. You start catching shit that you didn't catch the first or second time. Yeah. Same shit with watching a video or an artist or something.
What I'd like to see is this. I'd like to see some of these younger dudes or some of these more popular dudes do a better job at doing quality videos.
But is it their fault? Because, I mean, like, honestly, these motherfuckers can't hire professionals. You know what I mean? Like they getting the homies doing it for $800.
I'm not talking about the little pumps and these type of cats. You know, I'm talking about
established artists. Good, but it's just the content and the setup, the same old setups and shit. That's what's wrong. Like that's oversaturation with the same shit.
And that's why I say the problem is because it's kind of hard to go out the fucking box. You know what I mean?
But without that, then the other people that's doing the exact opposite wouldn't stand out. So you need that to have balance, though, at the same time.
Yeah.
It's always going to be fucking followers and shit and copycats and anything.
Right. No. People are always going to chase the
what's
trends.
Hot. What's hot?
And people
whatever.
You got the
it
people
who
are going to create the new... the newness and that real. So that's always going to be a part of the game, whether it's the videos, whether it's the music. Unfortunately, that's a part of hip-hop. That's always been a part of hip-hop is, the trend chasers and the folks that establish, what that wave is. You know? So any final comments before we wrap up this episode on hip-hop videos?
Can we put on Tip Drill after we close this
out? Yeah,
we'll
definitely watch
for
Tip
one last
Drill.
Time.
Yeah, get our credit cards or ATM cards ready.
Yeah.
Imagine if that dropped now. What would happen if that dropped now? Let's talk about that.
That shit.
The way the world is now, Nelly drops Tip Drill. What happens?
It would break the internet, man.
I think these motherfuckers might be like, yucky.
Nah, but
everybody batting for the wrong team and shit.
It would get a whole lot of backlash, but at the same time, the majority would be fucking with it more than hating on it.
You think so? So you don't think if it dropped, it would get pulled from all the uproar?
Fuck
certain,
no.
From certain things, certain platforms, yeah, but once you winning, you winning.
I mean, but you think
they can't
about
stop it.
It only played at night anyway, and you never saw it during the day.
Yeah. Right, but see, this is what I'm saying, though. So it only played at night. Now, if this dropped now on
I think
World
it'd go
Star,
viral. Yeah,
you can see that when, oh, yeah, you can see that whenever you're going to see
that. See, that's what motherfuckers don't have in their videos is more than three women in that motherfucking shit. So, they got somebody stealing shit, dancing and shit.
Nah, but it's all about what you're looking for. Like, right. It's like... Just the majority is the shit, the typical shit, like what you're talking about. But if you go out there and really just look and start just browsing through, you're going to see a little bit of everything. You're going to see some weird niggas. You're going to see some artistic niggas. You're going to see some hard niggas. Uh-huh. Some Drake wannabe niggas. You know what I mean?
That's funny that you say that. Let me stop you there. So do you think Drake could drop a Tip Drill esque video down? Do you think he has built enough equity within the female community with all the girl trash?
His crossover community wouldn't appreciate that shit.
I think Drake is on that Kanye fucking plateau where he can do whatever the fuck he wants.
I don't think so.
He got that many motherfucking followers, and it ain't purists that follow him, so he can do whatever the fuck these dumbs. Nah. You know what I mean?
I feel like hip hop don't have rules anymore.
It's exactly.
Like, it depends on how popular you are. You can basically get away with whatever you want. Like, Nelly, as big as Nelly was, Tip Drill is probably the only video I ever watched. The other shits came on.
You never watched Over and Over Again?
Country Grammar.
I'm about to sock this one, man.
That was the one when Nelly was in the Ferrari or something.
That was actually cool, nigga. The little Tip
Drill. Oh, man.
That nigga was.
When co-hosts say suspect shit.
25 hip-hop points deducted for that statement.
No,
that was trash, bro.
Nigga. He wasn't doing auto-tune.
No,
it wasn't a bad song. Not say I didn't like a lot of Nelly other popular songs. That's what I'm just saying.
Wait. So let me ask you this.
He got the Kelly Rowland single under the bed.
No. Okay, so let me ask you this. So you like Over and Over Again. Did you like that shit that Pooh and them used to play for Bone Thugs and them? Powder P and that little.
I didn't say that I was banging it. I'm just saying that it was a cool song.
Asking,
yeah, like it was.
That's about the same to me. Nah, if you got banjos in your hip hop record,
and you're talking about banjos.
Get it out. We talking about a butter long.
You talking about
the
butter long shit that I was talking about?
That's different.
He's talking about the Wild Cowboys.
Wild Cowboys
song with
the. Oh, you talking about
Motha?
Oh no, I didn't fuck with that.
I mean, but see, that's different. We was high out of our minds, so it had a different meaning.
I ain't never been that high to find
out. You ain't never had more than 25 pounds at your access and shit.
I mean,
we was smoking.
Is DMX Party Up the worst hip hop song ever?
No.
No,
what's
worse?
Close.
What's worse than that?
Party Up. What the fuck is that?
Oh, y'all gonna make me lose my mind.
Yeah, I could fuck with that shit.
That's the worst hip hop song ever.
One of the worst
ever.
One of the worst ever.
Oh, I'm gonna smack you with my dick in the mic.
Because trash. Ice Baby's worse than that.
I mean, I like Ice Baby beat more than that.
No, you cannot like Ice Baby more than Party Up. Are you for real?
When Ice Baby came out, I was in like sixth grade. I didn't. We were still listening to Parents Just Don't Understand and bullshit like that.
Right.
Nightmare on My Street.
We definitely were. But now, as a grown man, you can listen to them both and differentiate between which was better or worse. So is Ice Baby better than, what were we just talking about?
Well, you know what?
Up in Here? Party Up?
Informer was worse than both.
Oh, shit. Yeah, that shit was garbage.
He took the Informer around. He said, I answered that question.
But you know what? Party Up, the reason why I didn't like Party Up was because it was during a time when hip-hop was on hospice. I just couldn't fuck with it. It was just too... It was dying.
I wasn't fucking with it. You're right. It became super commercial at that time. And that is one of my most... That is probably why... That's probably the... I hate... That's why most unfavorite DMX song? Because it's just trash.
He came off with them two albums that dropped in 1 year, and they was both classics in my book. And then he came with that shit. I listened to his album last night, and it got to that song, and I was like, if we still listen to CDs, I would have frisbee that shit out the window. Oh, shit. But I can't throw my phone out the window. Yeah.
You know what, nigga? I hated Squiz Beatz until the Lox first album. I thought his beats was so trash until the Lox was spitting so hard that I had to listen. Ignored I kept it, yeah. Yeah, and they started growing on me.
Swizz has some ones that grow.
He's all right. He's not one of my favorites.
He wasn't sampling, and that was weird back in the days to go all digital at a time where everybody else was doing.
He had a unique sound.
New York doing non-sample beats. That shit was weird. It was different.
Yeah.
It was like Cash Money, like Manny Fresh, but in New York though. Right. So it was like you kind of had to get used to that sound coming out the East Coast.
I wasn't feeling them either, but once I heard that first Rough Riders Volume 1. Then that's when Swiss grew on me. When the jig of my nigga and all that shit came out, I was like, all right, I'm fucking with Swiss.
What's the Lox album with Fuck You and all that on there? Tell him I got a bitch named Superhead.
Yeah. Superhead. That's the second album, right?
It might be. To be honest with you, I didn't fuck with none of those albums.
Because Buddy Power Respect, I think, was the first album, right?
I didn't really fuck with them until they
We Are the Streets solo.
Yeah.
Was that We Are the Streets was number two?
No, Money, Power, Respect was the second one. We Are the Streets is the one I'm talking about. That great cover. We Are the Streets. That one right there.
Yeah, man. Lots. Matt, Dope. Jada. Styles.
Mm-hmm.
Just classic. Styles just dropped something, right?
Yeah, Geos. Yeah.
I never liked
Geos.
You never liked Styles?
I never liked the Lox. I like them better individually.
Oh, so as a group, you just said fuck.
Yeah, I think it's because they didn't have creative control over their music.
Right.
So once I heard them doing their own thing, then I liked them. Even like motherfuckers always knock Sheik, but then once I start hearing Sheik shit on his
Sheik
own,
Sheik is just as good as the rest of them.
Sheik is hard too.
They hard. I always liked the Lox on guest appearance tracks or tracks where it was just crew tracks and they were spitting. Some of their songier songs, wasn't really my favorite joints, but
songwriting improved over the years after they left that
to
Bad
be honest,
Boy.
Once they got off of Bad Boy, they were able to do their own thing.
When they first dropped, I really didn't know the difference between Styles and Jada because they used to always bounce back and forth.
But,
I think that's what's dope is that's when they're at their finest.
Yeah, everybody I like them all individually. They all legendary, but I like Styles better.
I forgot what video it was.
The whole group
was running around like, man, these two little peanut head niggas is out here flowing, but I just didn't know exactly who was who.
They had on them full jean jacket suits and boots on. Like, with the bald heads just, and shit.
Yeah, that's what I remember.
I forget what video that was.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Shout out to the Lox.
Shout out to Planners.
Yonkers.
Yeah, y'all were in Yonkers, right?
Y'all was getting killed in Yonkers.
Yonkers. Yeah. Yeah. Some motherfucking
that's about to block our ass 20, up.
21K took you the wrong way. Way, 21K. Man.
Hey, we was in the hood, bro. We was in the hood. Backstreets.
Backstreets. What was that stuff?
He said Real Blood.
Who was that? Let's shout out Real Blood. What's his name?
Brim Love.
Brim Love.
Brim Love.
The internet. Like I said, that's a good. We just saw that shit today. Visuals.
Exactly, nigga. Visuals.
Off of IG,
everything.
Social media.
The snippets of the visuals.
Pooh, you win.
30-second clips.
Yeah. Visuals, exactly, nigga. Nobody ain't into no link.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Nigga,
no, I got you.
It's actually three niggas spitting on that track, but unless you click on the YouTube link on the page, you won't.
Hey,
well,
they smart. They put a hook on there. The hook is catchy.
Yeah.
And you know,
check it out.
Yeah. If you down with that type of shit, you go. I'm telling you, that's getting downloaded tonight.
The people that think it's trash, that's gonna be like, what the fuck? They fucked this song up. They're gonna click on it just to go in the comments and talk shit,
exactly.
Or just to say something negative about the shit. So you win at the same time. So. Nigga, visuals is a way to go.
You ain't lying, Craig. You ain't lying. All right, fellas. Well, we're going to wrap this up. This has been another episode of An Honest Conversation about hip-hop. Don't forget, like us, follow us, check us out on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And also, you can always download our episodes anywhere. SoundCloud,
iTunes,
Google Play, Spotify, Lisbon, we're all over the place. So definitely go ahead and do that. Check us out. Before we get out of here, as always, I'm going to hit you with the Overtime Hustling outro. As always, Overtime Hustling, the magazine, is always up at OvertimeHustlingWithoutTheG.com. You can also check out all the mixtapes and all the other brands that are getting pushed by Overtime Hustling.
Hey, before we go.
What?
I got to say rest in peace to All Day, man.
Oh, man. Yeah, All Day, man. Big rest in peace.
Yeah, rest in peace to All Day, man. That was a good dude, man. As soon as we got to really meet him and kick it with him, then just passed away, unfortunately. He was fighting it for a while, but, man.
Father.
Yeah.
Dude who was about the community. And every time I was around him, it was always all love. And he was supposed to be releasing a book that I really hope gets released. And we were talking about doing some things with that, and then also some things with his charitable foundation he had. And then what happened, and then, you know, unfortunately he passed. So I know he has a son. So
yeah,
you know, our condolences to the family, man. You know, and everybody who was you know, very close to him.
Actually, his visual was today.
Yeah, the visual was
it's going on right now. Is it going on right now as we record? Vegas, man.
So yeah, definitely, man. Big rest in peace to All Day, man.
Yeah, All Day.
May you rest in peace, my brother. So we're gonna go to the song called "Come Smoke with Me" by Big T, homie, featuring Jay Chat. And this is the Overtime Hustling outro. Big T, come smoke with me. Peace.
Overtime Hustling.
I smoke a lot, that's what I do. Since it's ladies only, baby, you can slide through. You know I'm smoking on the best, must I remind you? Bust down the blunt, empty out the guts too. And later on, I'ma be inside your guts too. I see your nipple, cause the shirt you're wearing see-through. I know you're coming out your clothes, cause you're high, boo. Smoking on a California, peak the time change. Gorilla glue, it's gonna get you in the mind frame. You can smoke with them cats, but it ain't gonna be the same. Better stay with BT, I'm about to change the game. I got that good smoke, so I'm putting you up a thing.
Come and smoke with me. I really wanna get high. Can I smoke with you? I heard you got that fire. Come and smoke with me. I really wanna get high. Can I smoke with you? I heard you got that fire.
Back at it, never left, yeah, we still high. I look at you, you stare at me with them pretty eyes. I can tell you ain't smoked in a little while. There's a lot of laughter, girl, but I don't mind. Fun times, high times, baby, unwind. OG, sour diesel, yeah, that's all mine. Can't forget about them cookies, smoke that all the time. Netflix, five stick, girl, it's going down. I got them big blunts, girl, turn the lights down. Smoke and make your mouth dry, sip the wine now.
Oh, I like you for real.
Oh, yeah, I like you too, baby, let me hit it right now.
Get high.
Can I smoke with you?
I heard you got that fire.
Come and smoke with me.
I really wanna get high.
Can I smoke with you?
I heard you got that fire. Yeah, yeah.
I'ma get you high today.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.